She's been saved for 18 years. That's amazing because she's only like 25. I don't know how that works. She's been married for 14. That's pretty good. That's awesome. And she's in the ministries of United We Can. She's our coordinator. And she's also part of our gang worship, and she's the overseer there. And she's also one of our leaders on our worship team on the music force. So she's a busy woman. Her favorite scripture is Psalms 3:3. And just, we want to welcome awesome Siobhan. Amen.
Thank you, Marcia. First of all, I want to thank God for keeping me through a lot, and also my pastors and Sister Barbara especially. I love her so much. And then Dre, my husband. Inside joke, sorry. Dre and the girls, because even the girls, like, they're super supportive about everything. But so I'm so thankful for my family. So I'm just going to pray. God, I thank you for this opportunity to speak to your people, God. I pray that you would remove me and speak into people's lives, God. I pray that whatever you want to be transmitted, that it would, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. I apologize. I've been sick since we came back from San Antonio. I'm just going to read a scripture. It's, and you don't have to turn there, but it's 1 Corinthians 1:27 through 31. And I really like the Message version that I read today. But first, tell your neighbor, I may not be qualified, but I'm called. So the scripture says, isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses, chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies? That makes it quite clear that none of you can get by with blowing your own horn before God. Everything that we have, right thinking and right living, a clean slate and a fresh start, comes from God by the way of Jesus Christ. That's why we have the saying, if you're going to blow a horn, blow a trumpet for God. I loved that scripture because I was like, man, that's so our church, right? Like the nobodies, a lot of times that's us. But so what does called mean? What is, when someone says I'm called by God, what does that mean? It means we're called to be set apart, to serve him, to put our flesh in submission and to follow him. It also means to fulfill our potential. It means when God puts something in our hearts, to answer it. I was at Gang Convention probably around 18 years ago, and Tim Arganzoni said, God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And from that moment, I knew, like, something about those words hit me. Because I didn't even know what he fully meant by that, but I knew it was something more for me. And so I think for me, because I grew up broken, a broken home, like many of you guys here, a heroin addicted mom, and I was scared, I was abused, I had super low self-esteem, even now, but back then I struggled with not believing that I had a voice that mattered, so I spoke very little. I didn't think anyone cared anyways, so if you knew me when I was a kid, you knew that I didn't talk. But most of us come from that background of being hopeless, the person that nobody cared about. A lot of times you would walk into your family's house for events, and they would be, like, avoiding you because they're like, oh, God, they're going to ask me for money. They're going to want something from me. But then you came into this ministry, and you've been accepted. God's given you a purpose. People have stepped out of their way to invite you places, invite you into their homes, and trusted you. But we've been given a clean slate. As soon as we came into this ministry, God's given us a clean slate. But we hear messages all the time that we have hope and that we're called, we're loved, and we're wanted where we didn't have that before. But it feels unreal. So a lot of times those lies become real to us. So when we hear it, it, as we grow up, it becomes real life. But I can say that one of my favorite things is having life group with the Women's Victory Home, because with them, you get to see the transformation that happens from the moment they walk in until they complete, and then to see them go on to whatever else God has for them. But because their lives have been so drastically changed, they've went from believing lies to believing the truth. But we all have a background that we're not proud of, no matter what it is. But God has called all of us. Something that I learned recently, this retreat was a huge breakthrough for me. I don't know if I would have gotten it if I would have stayed without going. And I battled it. I paid my registration, but I was still like, I don't want to go. I wanted to go, but in my mind, I was like battling stuff. So I needed to go. But one thing I learned recently was to separate lies and truth. And so all the lies that I thought that I was alone or people didn't care, I had to separate those and say, okay, that's a lie. That's a lie. And God loves me and I'm not alone. I have so many people that I could turn to for support and love. But you may think that you don't have all the answers, but it doesn't matter because God has qualified you if he's called you. No matter what it is, you as long as you're answering his call, he's going to continue to grow you and qualify you. As soon as we submit to him, and I love that about God, is that he's not he doesn't just give us a calling without qualifying us and saying, like, figure it out. He grows us into that person and that process, but he wants to mold us into that person. So he'll begin to accelerate us into our calling. So I encourage you today, if you're battling separating lies and truth, just decide that whatever is good, that's what God is saying, not the bad. Those are lies. So just separate those and follow God's calling. That's all he wants, is you to step into your potential and follow him. But I'm just going to pray. God, I thank you so much again for pulling us together. God, I pray that you would speak to every person's life tonight through the rest of the service, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, now we're getting to our main speaker. This woman of God, she's been saved for 20 years, married for 13. She's a pastor's wife, and she's a UTC and Bethy alumni. Man, God's been growing her. Kids gang overseer. She's associate pastor's wife. And her favorite scripture is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Please welcome Michelle Laney.
Good evening, church. How's everybody doing tonight? Well, I'm excited to be here. Amen. And again, of course, to my senior pastor's wife who is sick, I just want to say let's continue to pray for her. Amen. And it's such a privilege to serve under a great woman of God. And I really thank God for her leadership in my life. And I'm just going to open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, and Lord, we thank you, God. We ask for your presence, your anointing to be here with us. We ask that you would go before us, God, even now, God, you begin to continue to prepare our heart for your word, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And before I get into the message, just like we heard these awesome women say, because we know we didn't get where we are by ourselves, amen. I thank God for my salvation. And just like Siobhan, I came out of a broken home. I will never, ever forget where God has brought me from. I will never forget the home I grew up in. And I honestly thank God that he rescued my family. He rescued me at 15 years old. And I know my life would not be where it is right now if we didn't say yes to God. Amen. So I'm truly grateful for that. And of course, my husband, who is a pillar, an anchor in my life. Love you. And it's real. I thank God for a good man. I do. I thank God for a man of God. Amen. That helps me and whatever I need help in, that directs me, that gives me wisdom, because sometimes we get crazy. Can I get amen from the women of God? And I thank God that I have a man as an anchor that'll help hold me down. Amen. Of course, my children who are just with us in ministry. Wherever we go, they're with us. They're always down for the ministry. They're in the streets with us. They're in the church with us. They're church kids. Amen. I thank God for them. And, of course, my pastors, Pastor Danny and Sister Barbara, I'm very grateful for them. They invested so much in my life from a young age till now. They're still investing. They're still pouring in. So I want to give a big shout out to them. I know they're not here tonight, but I really thank God for them. And tonight I'm going to talk about what it is behind me, Relentless Pursuit. Both retreats were titled Relentless Pursuit. And I'm going to break that up real quick. Relentless means is constant and continual. And pursuit means to go after. And there are three things I want to talk about tonight that we as people need to relentlessly pursue. And all these points were inspired by the women that spoke the messages there. And the first thing I want to speak about is, one, we need to relentlessly pursue God. We need to relentlessly pursue our relationship with God. The Bible reads in John chapter 15, verse 16, that you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. That's Jesus talking. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And right here, the Bible says that we know that God pursues us. We know God goes after us. God waits for us. God loves us. Amen? We know that. But what we need to do is we need to begin to pursue him back. It doesn't happen just by wishful thinking. It doesn't happen just because one day you hope to be. It happens when you get on your face before the Lord. When you begin to seek God for yourself, that's when it happens. And just like those words says, we have to relentlessly pursue God. How do you do that? You have to, one, have an active prayer life. We cannot expect the fruit of the Spirit if we ain't even walking in the Spirit. We can't expect things of God if we don't live a righteous life. You ain't going to produce righteous things. If we're not walking in the Spirit, amen, we're not going to produce things of the Spirit. Flesh begets flesh. What does that mean? Flesh produces flesh. And if we never wake ourselves up to pray, read our word, how many know you're not going to sow those? Those things aren't going to be flowing out of your life. We need to pursue God. We have to be active in our prayer life. I know sometimes we wake up and it's like a battle. Amen? A battle to roll out of bed, a battle to just to get up. We hear the alarm 5,000 times. Amen? Some of us hit snooze. It's not me. I'm not going to say who, but somebody in our house, they just hit snooze. And I'm like, oh, I can't take that snooze button. But we got to wake up, church. We got to wake up. We got to pray. We can't do it without God. It doesn't matter how far you go, whether I was 15 years old, when I was 25, when I was 30. Now that I'm 36, I need Jesus every morning. It doesn't matter with the title change, all these things that happen. What matters is my walk with God. We have to pursue God in prayer. You're not going to know God unless you pursue him. The second thing is we need to have an active word life. We need to read our Bibles, plain and simple. We need to be men and women of God that read the word of God. That every morning, yes, along with prayer, amen, is our word. We need to read our word. The word of God needs to be a part of our life. And not only do we need to read it, we need to live it and we need to quote it. Sometimes we don't open our mouth. We need to begin to quote the word of God. There's power in that. There's power when we get to speak the word of God over our lives. Sister Doreen says something that's key. She said, the proof of desire is in pursuit. The proof of desire is in pursuit. You will never possess anything you won't pursue. And like I said, it doesn't come because of wishful thinking or hoping. It comes when you begin to pursue God, when you make yourself get out of bed, when you make yourself open that word. The pursuit, the desire is in the pursuit. We can say all we want. Amen. This is us sometimes, talking. Okay, this is me sometimes. Amen. But when we begin to bear that fruit, it's in the pursuit. The proof of desire is in the pursuit. So if you really want something, you'll go after it, is what she's saying. You really want to have a great prayer life? Then you'll pursue it. You want to quote the word like nobody's business, then you'll pursue it. Amen? So we need to pursue God. The second thing we need to pursue is souls. The Bible reads in Matthew chapter 28, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Again, that's Jesus talking. And he's putting out a call to the church that we need to go and make disciples. We need souls. Sister Julie said this in our gangrel session. And she always says this. This is something she always says. Is the first generation prayer was, God, give me souls lest I die. The second generation would pray, God, give me souls. And this generation just prays, give me. And there's a difference. What she began to say is we need to have that first generation cry for souls. God, give me souls lest I die. Wherever I go, God, help me run into somebody that I can minister to, that I can be a witness to. That has to be birth in our life. We are victory outreach. We outreach. We bring people in off the streets, amen. We take them to the home. So not only do we need to reach them, but we need to teach them. And in that scripture, it says, go and create disciples. Create, meaning that you got to put in work. Sometimes we see the glamour. Oh, people follow them. Oh, I want to be like that. Look at all those girls. They follow her around. I'm going to tell you something right now, because sometimes we see all that, and it's like that saying, you see the glory, but you don't know the story. You don't know the countless nights of counseling. You don't know the times where you're spending with these women to help them through hardship or whatever they're going through. It takes work to build people, just like people invested in you, amen, because I know I was no easy job, amen. I know my pastors put in a lot of work with me, and I thank God for that, but it takes work to build people. It's not easy. It is not easy, just like with our children. It ain't easy to raise children. It's the same in the spirit. It ain't easy to raise disciples, amen? But we need to. As Victory Outreach, we got to reach them, and we got to teach them. And lastly, we need to relentlessly pursue the call of God. And I'm going to read our promise scripture for Victory Outreach. It says, I will go before you and level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. This is the call. I want to talk about a two-part call here. First of all, I want to talk about the call to give. The call to give. And I'm not talking about your time. I ain't talking about your talent. I'm talking the call to give your financial money. That's a call. Sometimes we walk up in the church and we see the beautiful things, the lights, the floor. We think, oh, the church got some. They don't need help. Right? But I'm going to tell you again, giving is an attitude of the heart. And the Bible says, I think somebody read it earlier, where your treasure is. I think Marcia read it for her. That there your heart will also be. So it's a matter of the heart. We need people to rise up and give. It's a call to give. Sister Doreen said something again that was key. She said it takes money. It takes money to move the vision. How many know things ain't free? We have to get permits. We got to do all kinds of things. Things that you see, they're not free. And it's not just giving towards that. It's giving towards a soul. It's giving because I love my church. If pastor puts out a call or a pledge, we're the first. Because it takes money to move this vision. And not just on a local level, but on an international level. This big, beautiful pin I wear, that symbolizes United We Can right there. I'm a United We Can giver, and I'm proud of it. I love the mission field. I've been to the mission field. And I thank God that we have an avenue that we can give to the mission field. Church, is it going to happen any other way? We're the plan. We're the plan. The Bible talks about when Jesus was on his mission, there were women who followed and women who gave to his ministry. It's biblical to give. If we want to talk Bible, we can talk Bible. It's biblical to tithe. It's biblical to give, to fund the ministry. It doesn't happen any other way. And she also said, if we don't raise up a generation of givers, this thing could die on our watch. I don't know about you, but in 15, 20, 30 years, I want my children and my children's children to have Victory Outreach. I want them to experience the vision of this great ministry, and whether it's sending them to the foreign field or whatever God calls them to do. But we cannot allow this vision to die on our watch. But if we don't become pillars and givers of this ministry, we can lose it on our watch. And I'm not willing to do that. And again, when we see those videos are real. They don't Google stuff on the internet to make a video. Those are legit videos. That is foreign land. We took South Africa. Well, now we're in Panama. We're taking Mexico. We're all over. Sister Mitzi said it in her message. She said, we're not just building one church. We're taking the world. We are taking the world. And lastly, under the call of God, we have to pursue the call of God on your life. We are called to reach people in different capacities. Some of you here, you feel the call to take a city. And you don't know how or when or what, but you feel the call of God upon your life. And sometimes it's scary. Sometimes we start packing up and trying to run. But the call of God is there. We cannot lose that. Some of you are called to be evangelists. Some of you are called to put your hands to the plow here in Albuquerque, to be a kids gang worker, to put your hands to the plow in these streets. We can't let the call of God get away. We only get one life. We only get one life to make an impact. And again, Sister Julie says it all the time. I wish I had another life. I would give it over and over again. We only get one life to make an impact on this earth. And we got to stop being afraid. We got to say, yes, God. If you call me, then send me. Yes, God. If you want me to do that, I will do it. Yes, God. If you want me to raise up disciples, then I'll do it. The call of God is there. Sister Julie said, she was talking about her call. She said, I didn't see the future. I was just being obedient in that moment. And it's simple. Just be obedient. When God is calling you to do something, be obedient in that moment. And little by little, God begins to unfold the call upon your life. But it's up to you to be obedient. You hear it. You feel it. You know it. You got to begin to walk towards it. One step at a time. God, use my life. Again, we pray those prayers all the time. God, here I am. Use me. God, raise me up. God, I want to lift up the pastor's arms. God, I want to take this city. And God begins to open doors for you to do that. But we get fearful. And we hold back. And we start thinking just like the worship I'm getting. We start feeling inadequate or unqualified. Or I don't got all that Bethany school. I don't got this. I don't got that. God didn't call you. God's calling you to answer him. Amen. And tonight, if we could all stand. This is the time, church. This is our time to take our city. This is our time, your time, to answer the call. You feel it. You know it. You see it. It's time to begin to walk towards that calling. Maybe there's some of you that have been struggling with pursuing God. And in the day-to-day, just becomes getting boring, and you're almost thinking about going back to the world. I'm going to tell you tonight, you can start fresh. Tonight, you come to these altars and say, God, refire me, refresh me, God. God, ignite a passion inside of me for you, for your word. But it takes you. You have to make those steps. And maybe sometimes, again, we hear the call to the streets, or we get fearful. Are we just hearing the call to step up in our giving? God, I don't have enough. God, I can't do it. God has you. You just have to step out. And tonight we have the ministers here tonight, and we're going to pray. I want to open these altars because I believe God is going to rekindle some fire. God is going to begin to do something new. God is going to give you the courage to step out and to answer the call upon your life. So I want you to come to this altar and begin to lay it all down.